Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Weber at stuweb.com, and it is Thursday, July the 2nd, 2026, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on with me. Now, we're talking about something that's very heavy, and I'm going to let Joe just bring it up because he's one of the ones that found it, and I've confirmed that they're saying this. Anyway, go ahead, Joe.
All right, you had me really quick on breaking news, and they did detonate a tactical nuke in Lebanon. The Israelis did it. They have such censoring of the news, it doesn't get out. But it got out on this one. There's enough people that saw it. So in fact, Israel did use a tactical nuke.
Now, what kind of nuke they used, I don't know. I don't think you know, but I saw the explosion too in a video. And believe me, I'll put it this way. My father worked at Bendix, which made the toys for the government. He never told me, but Otis did. And it blew his mind when he told me in front of Otis, or Otis said it in front of him. But one of the missing scientists worked out there at Bendix, Honeywell, it's called now. It was taken over by the Bushes, but Honeywell makes all kinds of toys for the government, all kinds of toys. Satellites, they make nukes, you name it, they make it. But here's the deal. I asked one time my dad on his deathbed, he never told me anything. What do you do for a living, Dad? Oh, I make saucers, cups, and spoons. I said, you're lying to me. Because they used to have a Bendix newsletter that was mailed, and the postman would take the staple out and read it. It was declassified, different things, satellites and so on and so forth, that were in it. Declassified. But it talked about Bendix making these toys. Now, one of those missing scientists was one that worked at Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory, and he worked at Bendix both, Honeywell. He's one of the ones that's missing, these 14 or 17 scientists, whatever it is. He worked there. Now, my father was at Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory more than once when during his time, period of time. He was a vice president of quality reassurance at Bendix, and he taught 300 backup inspectors at Bendix to do their job, taught them how to do the job, because he had reduced it down to 150 on Bendix staff, had 150 inspectors underneath him, and he was the one in charge of quality reassurance on his shift, VP. Now, he taught down there for 6 weeks, Los Alamos, taught 300 of them how to do their job and so forth, and they reduced the staff to 150, cut off 150 employees of the U.S. government that was Department of Energy inspectors. I just thought I'd bring that up because I'm familiar with nukes, and I asked the question on his deathbed. He never told me anything, but I said, Dad, I got a question. How many briefcase nukes did you guys build? He says, a lot. And I said, what, about 300 of them? He said, where'd you get that number? I said, Otis. He said, yeah, that's probably right. Anyway, because he met Otis, and Otis blew his mind in his living room. But here's the point. I said, if you built 300 of them, I said, when did you do this? He said, the early 60s. That's all he ever told me, the early 60s. They built them. Now, these nukes, in case that person doesn't know, I'll explain it to you. A yield is the size of the explosion, and they can adjust that yield when it's in midair. It's analog to dialogue, dialog to analog, and it shifts. It can do 1,000 times in 1 minute. So the enemy cannot detect how big a bomb it is or where it's coming to. Analog to dialog, dialog to analog, that's top secret shit. Anyway, I'm familiar with this because of Otis. He told me a lot of things. Not my father, but Otis did. He's now dead. Otis Johnson, 007. But they can change that dialogue, or the yield, it's called, the yield in midair. And they can make that yield either small condensed and it hit its target and it's over with, and, you know, it has a big explosion for what it hit, or they can spread it. Now, they could hit Iran with one nuke and have a huge yield on it, and blow half the damn place apart. I just thought I'd bring that up. Now, we know this is Israel doing this, because they're stopping at nothing. This Israeli government is out of control, and this APEC, Zionists, run by Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein, which Barack Obama gave him a presidential pardon for $2.5 billion bribe that he used to build his new presidential library that just recently opened. And they did that at a private dinner inside the White House because they had to pay a $10 million fine each, $10 million each, for under the Rothschilds and my ex-father-in-law, as a grand jury investigation that he did on him called the M&L Business Machines Sting Operation. And they had 450 agents bribed by the APEC boys of Denver. These are federal agents, FBI, IRS, government, judges, prosecutors, congressmen, senators, you name it, they were all bribed. Milman got caught and he had to pay an $80 million fine. Mizell paid $10 million. Brownstein, Norman Brownstein, who was Daddy Bush's CIA attorney when he was CIA director in charge of Bill Barr and others, traitor Bill Barr. Anyway, he was the one that they paid Barack Obama because they were had been indicted and were and had to pay that several million in fine. They wanted that presidential pardon. So Barack Obama took a bribe, and that's how he built his presidential library. And they did it at a fundraiser that they announced on a Wednesday on CNN. A little Jewish girl announced that they had had a private dinner. And John McCain released some kind of a law, something, that they were holding it back until the bribe was paid. And on that day, he makes the announcement. It was on a Wednesday that they made the announcement. Barack Obama had a private dinner and raised money for his presidential library. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, now, Israel is not going to let it out there because everything is controlled and censored. And they don't want that getting out because if it does, it's going to cause pandemonium among the West. And those people that are against the idea of a greater Israel, which when you look on the Israeli flag, you see two blue lines, one on top, one on the bottom of the flag. That represents the Euphrates all the way down to the Egypt. That's called Greater Israel. All the way up to Iraq and then all the way back, which will include parts of Syria. So now we have a conflagration, and they're saying, and they said it in the Knesset, we are going to do this and we don't care what you think. This is our playground and it belongs to us. So you can see why people are saying Israel is out of control.
And they also got that Star of David that they claim is a Star of David. David didn't have any star. That's a satanic symbol that looks like two pyramids, one upside down and one the other side. That's a satanic emblem on their flag, in case people did not know that. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the status of it all. Of course, people like Alex Jones were not saying anything. Because again, if you watch him, he is now again back in the center, being kind of an apologist for Israel by not mentioning it.
His real name is not Alex Jones, it's a different name, and he's a fake, and I could have sued the shit out of him, and still could. He blew Sandy Hook, Thatcher, he had it to a science, it was a drill, and he had two firemen and a cop that were going to testify. It was all a drill, and he couldn't even get. He took it all the way to Supreme Court, folks, and they wouldn't let him put up a witness or any evidence. Kept appealing, and then Alex Jones comes along and says, "Oh, he mentioned something about Sandy Hook being a hoax intentionally, so he could be sued and his network, and let the victims, the families of Sandy Hook people." Oh, they got paid by Alex Jones's insurance company, etc. Let me tell you, Donald Trump he called Donald Trump about 6 months before he settled this deal and asked to borrow $50 million from him. Donald Trump laughed at him and called him a fake. Anyway, go ahead.
This is where we also have to include, because you can watch Alex as he becomes, well, I'm for what Trump does some of the time, and I'm not for him for some of the other time. But the thing that Trump is always going to be, he is controlled by the megaboys, and the megaboys are all Jewish billionaires. That's who controls Trump. And he's not going to change, because the mega boys are the ones that are laying down what's to be done and what is not to be done. And what it amounts to is, in Alex's part, go this far and go no more. Go this far and no more. And so, although there are things that he presents that are correct, overall, he's one of theirs.
And his wife divorced Alex Jones because she figured out he was a stooge working for the Israelis and the U.S. government, a combination. And she said, I've had enough of this. She divorced him.
Yeah, I mean, he's accused of being controlled by Stratford, which is a Israeli think tank in Austin, Texas.
Yep. And his handler is a guy that was what the heck was the name of it? I can't think. I mean, I can't think of the name of it. It's something old of the past, but it's God. Wish I could think of his name, but it's Alex Jones' handler. Anyway, go on, Joe.
You couldn't have more events concerning how deep Israeli penetration of this country, because that's what happened with Charlie Kirk when he was assassinated. All of this stuff came out about Bibi Netanyahu and all about the connections between Turning Point and what was around Turning Point, and it was a what you would call a political thrust using the family and morality. It's kind of the same thing with the TV evangelists. They were all prompted from Whittemore and Darby and the and his let's see, what was his name? Can't wait, think of it right now. The Schofield Bible, and it was to make Israel legitimate. And what they're doing to the Palestinian is a genocide. They shoot babies, they shoot anything, because we are going. And that means that you are soulless, you're not human.
Cattle.
You can be treated as they want. So remember, people, that part of the Palestinians, they're old Christians. Bibi Netanyahu blew up one of the oldest sustained Christian church since 181 AD. Blew it up. And they've done that all over southern Lebanon.
And I want to say something about Lebanon and the Palestinians. The Palestinians occupied the territory that they now call Israel. And they did that clear up until 1947. And the Jews, these fake Jews, who are Bibi Netanyahu and even General Rafael Atan, that was trying to put an assassin on me and the whole bit. He was following me all the way across Illinois. I was running 140 miles an hour in a brand new Pontiac I had, and this old 40 stole from someplace or bought with this assassin female. He couldn't keep up with me. But General Rafael Atan was after me. Now he's one of the ones, and Michael Hariri, who's the head of the Mossad, okay. Michael Hariri and Rafael Atan were the ones that during World War II aided Adolf Hitler in turning the Palestinians, who were the Christian Jews, supposedly Jews, and were killing them. Concentration camps and killing them. Anyway, that was Rafael Atan and Michael Hariri, which formed the Israeli government with others like the Bibi Netanyahu's and all the others in 1947, and declared Palestine to be their territory. They claimed it to be Israel. And they slaughtered 40,000 Palestinians and buried them in massive graves, and then hung their flag up and declared themselves to be Israel. And in 1948, the UN recognized them as a state of Israel. And then they said, oh, no, you Palestinians, you can have this territory over here. And now they blew it all apart, bombed the shit out of it. They killed all those innocent women and children, and just as they're getting in food lines where the UN's trying to feed them and the whole bit. Now, Cynthia McKinney, my former friend, she is my friend, not former, former congresswoman that teaches at a university in South Africa, COINTELPRO, which is the FBI's COINTELPRO. It's the only university in the world that teaches it. After she got dismissed from Congress, coming and meeting with me and was exposing 911. She met with me in person, wanted to hire me. Said, oh, Stu, you have to come to Washington. I can put you on the payroll for €125,000. I said, Cynthia, I'd be suicided within 2 weeks. You can't let me work out of my house? She says, no. I said, well, then I'm just going to give it to you for free. So I fed her information. Chloe Petucci lost by one vote in Georgia as a U.S. congresswoman. So then she went to South Africa because she wanted an education in COINTELPRO. She got a PhD, and now she teaches COINTELPRO at that university down there. Now, I'm going to be interviewing her again soon. Don't want to say anything, but she's up on my radio bar of 1 and 2, and she brought me Scott Bennett that worked with Snowden, and he was illegally arrested and held, and because of the Israelis were over there taking everything that the DOD and the Department of Defense Secretary, I forgot his name, was sending documents, classified documents, to Scott and where Snowden was working. And Snowden he left the United States and got stuck in Russia trying to get out of the U.S. He didn't do anything except expose that the government was doing something illegal, which they were tapping everybody. And that's what it was. And with Scott Bennett, he was getting all that top secret information and stuff, and he exposed that stuff. So Scott ended up getting murdered, by the way, here about, I don't know, a year ago or something. They murdered him over it. But, and Snowden's still in Russia, and Edward Snowden, there's all kinds of interviews with him out there on the internet. But I thought I'd throw that up there because there's been some very significant people who had to leave the government, and like Taylor Green, Marjorie Taylor Green. She's talking about AIPAC, the Zionists, the Israeli government controlling the Congress and Senate, which they do. And if you go to my Breaking News page and look at Breaking News, some of the top stories over the past about 3 weeks, it points to AIPAC and Larry Mizell. Larry Mizell took over for my ex-father-in-law. My ex-father-in-law took over for Meyer Lansky, Murder Incorporated, then Milman took it over, the big empire controlling. When Milman died, he had $100 trillion underneath his control. He left a $50 billion estate, which is nothing but drug money, and registered with the Denver courts, make it look legit. He brought BlackRock, Blackstone, which is the largest bank in the United States, and he owned, through Great West Life of Denver, he owned HSBC Bank, which is the largest bank in the world. So these boys in Denver are controlling now $150 trillion in assets, and they're called the 12 Disciples of Satan. And the 13th one that shows up is Baphomet, the goat-headed demon at their satanic parties, which they just had for 2 days on the summer and solstice, June the 21st and 22nd, there in Denver, Colorado, at the Old Nabari, which Milman owned. Now, Otis called me up in 2004 and said, Stu, your ex-father-in-law's dead. I said, good. He said, what do you mean good? I said, it takes some pressure off of me with all the shit they've done to me. He goes, no, Stu, I don't think you understand. You put so much heat on Larry Mizell, and whatever inhabited Leonard Milman lived for thousands of years before it invaded his body and inhabited him. Now it inhabits Larry Mizell. He says, He was the chosen one to take over for your ex-father-in-law. Now, folks, if you look up there, Rocky Flats nuclear material sold to Israel illegally. Gunther Rusbacher was involved in it. I got the whole story up there in the details, and it points to him. Larry Mizell, Larry Mizell, Larry Mizell, APAC, 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 the Zionists controlling it. There's pictures of him and Bibi and his little rabbi from Denver all sitting together. Go up and look at my breaking news column and start looking at what I posted on APEC and Larry Mizell of Denver. It's a key situation. Now, I just interviewed his cousin, Larry Mizell's cousin, Vicky Mizell. You need to listen to that interview. It says, Radio, Vicky Mizell. Listen to it, folks. It's very significant to his family and what he is. He's a Satanist punk. Anyway, go ahead, Joe.
I think that's about all, Stu. If we need to shut it down.
Well, before we shut it down, I want to give everybody a warning. The United States, several people, Colonel McGregor and a couple other colonels, are telling the fact of what's really going on with Greater Israel, which is the Ukraine. The Ukraine just continues. And Russia and China have said, we're going to put a stop to deployment of anything to the Ukraine. And if the America doesn't back away from the Ukraine and leave us alone and quit supporting the Ukraine, we're going to be at war with the United States. Now, Otis was on the phone. He got called up one night, worked out of his house at the NSA, on the phone, on a computer, out of his home. He was working for General Flynn when they murdered him, and Flynn, 2 weeks later, had to resign because he was under false indictment and under Trump's first administration. They did to remove him because he told me, he says, Stu, if Mueller doesn't do his job, and he says, arrest Hillary Clinton for her Russian dossier and fake stuff they did during the election against Trump, he says, I'm going to personally be going in and arresting Mueller. But he told me, he says, Stu, he says, I got a call. He says, around 10:30, I was in bed at 10 o'clock. And he says, I got up because I saw it was the NSA. And I answered. And he said, they said, get on the computer now. So he did. Anyway, he hooked in. And they were talking with President Putin of Russia. And this was over Syria or someplace where they gassed them. And they gassed him. And Putin was blaming the U.S. for doing it. And Otis says, no, sir. Because he spoke a fluent Russian. It was one of three PhDs he had. And he spoke a fluent Russian. And they said, he said, Mr. Putin, Mr. President, it's Otis Johnson. He says, I know who you are, Otis. He said, you're one of the biggest over there in the U.S. and spy world. He says, yes, sir. He says, I guarantee you we did not gas that country that you're defending. I think it was Syria. He said, we didn't set that gas off. He said, it was the Israelis. You want to put blame on somebody. He says, Otis, I'm going to warn you in the United States. If I find out you're lying to me, or if it happens again, he says, I'm going to drop a nuke with a submarine in the Azov Fault off the coast of New York about 2,000 miles out. And he says it will cause a tidal wave to hit the United States 1,800 feet tall, wipe out the entire East Coast all the way to the Mississippi River. Do you understand me? He says, yes, sir. It didn't happen again. They gave a warning to Israel. Otis did, and his boss said no more. So it didn't happen again. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that tidbit out there because right now, the Ukraine, that Lewinsky, which is an extension of that Jewish crime syndicate, that's where the Khazarian Jews came from. Ukraine, those are the ones that formed Israel today, the Khazarian Jews. And they were from all over Europe, just like Bibi. Bibi, he was from Europe. Anyway, you got anything to add to that, Joe?
You hit it on the head. I think that's good.
Okay. Well, Joe, I want to thank you for coming on with me.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good day. Hang on, Joe.